Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly, Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on Auto Trader. They're really good at numbers. Auto Trader.
Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, first half, A.J. Benza sits in. A.J. always brings it, and he's clinically insane. So funny, funny show coming for you today. First, I'll tell you about Bet Online. Oh, the wait. It is finally over, kids. It's time to get back to football, and I'll tell you who has you covered. Bet Online. Sunday, coming up. Got Vikings, Texans, got Steelers, Titans, Bills, Raiders. I think that's going to be a good game. Game of the weekend is probably going to be Patriots at Chiefs. Chargers at Buccaneers, that's going to be a good one, too. A couple of perennial all-star quarterbacks have switched teams at the very end of their career. Philip Rivers and Brady, obviously. Eagles at 49ers, more options to wager than anywhere online, from spreads to totals to props as well. Get in on season-opening bonuses and wager on wins and division championship futures. Head to BetOnline today. Take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Visit BetOnline.ag, our exclusive partner at Podcast One. And don't forget promo code Podcast One for your sign-up bonus today. BetOnline.ag.
We're back inside the toolbox where skies are semi-cleared from the forest fire smoke. Those fires that, according to our government, were caused by climate change and definitely not arson. But it is nice to see some blue skies once again. Lots of folks leaving California for brighter pastures, and I'm not happy to tell you that they're the same people who moved here decades ago and drove the state into a ditch. As a fourth-generation Californian, I can say that, so I find it remarkable when folks from other states get pissed that the faux Californians are moving into their neighborhoods and driving up the home prices. Guess what, guys? You get no sympathy from me because they did it to us first. Real Californians don't flee, we fight. So fly the bear and wave that flag wide and high. We live in a state where they can't even provide adequate power during a heat wave. And Governor Hairgel wants to outlaw gas-powered vehicles. That'll work great. Next time the power goes out, we'll be charging our cars on gas generators. But what the hell, right? I have a sneaking suspicion this is only meant to keep poor, undesirable people at home in L.A. and not mucking up the Napa vineyards where Governor calls home. But there's a bright side. Biological males can now do prison time in female prisons. That's progress. This is what happens when one party rules your state, folks. Science and nuance are gone. The religion of wokeness is now the law. We have assumed control and you will comply. Beautiful day in the Southland. Temps slightly above average this week. We got traffic and weather together with Dusty Rhodes coming up at the bottom of the hour. And this afternoon, we go live at 5 with a performance from The Who's live at Leeds LP. So stick around for that. Brought to you by Olive Garden. Soon, all restaurants will be Olive Garden. They say shut up and obey. I say stand up and don't pay. Let's get it together, California. Throwing this one out to the man who's made more executive orders than any other governor in the history of our great state. His Eminence, Gavin Newsom. This is The Who on the Toolbox.
Sunshine.
Studios in Glendale, California, and brought to you by Bet Online. This is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, AJ Benza, with Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and Jeff Cesario with the sports. And now, America's comedian, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
And Bald Brian.
Best way to get over a girl is to get under another one.
Yeah.
The more you know.
Nice job, Dawson, man.
Yeah. That was awesome.
Flamethrower.
Nice pull.
AJ Benza here. Yeah, speaking of America's team, I was a couple moments late because I was at the other shop watching the very end of that Dallas Cowboys game. It just came down to the very end. And it's funny because Pete Carroll and a lot of the coaches have gotten into trouble for not wearing their mask. And the thing that they do is Pete Carroll wears his mask when he's talking into the headset, yeah, and then he pulls the mask down and goes, it's a U formation. He starts screaming, and then he pulls the mask back up, and he's like, okay, let's do a 25C fly. Like, he literally pulls the mask out, screams as loud as he can, and then pulls it back on, and then talks to the guy up in the booth.
I'm sure it's fine.
He's
the 12th man.
Yeah. He is the 12th man. But
yeah, it has to be.
Somebody said, who I was watching the games with, like, all these guys are getting tested. So why does Pete Carroll need to have his mask up or down? He's like outside. Everyone's being tested.
There's been like 300,000 tests and everybody's fine.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, not everybody. No, but the point is, it's like, in the NFL. So it's like, are we doing
one quarterback who got tested positive yesterday, 2 days ago.
Okay.
But that's a pretty good ratio.
That's not bad. Yeah.
Well, also, I never did this, but we all need to do this, which is a positive test versus a hospitalization or ventilation or whatever, something going on. Being positive is fine if it doesn't lay out, doesn't kill you, and it doesn't whatever yet, then it's a positive test. But why are these guys getting fined? And are they getting fined because we like the example of the mask, the sort of symbolism of it versus the practicality? He's around a bunch of guys who are being tested. These guys are running into each other. No one on the field is wearing a mask.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Why is he getting fined for not wearing a mask?
Also, I've always wondered this. Maybe we can ask Dan Bichek or somebody. What happens to that fine money? That's the better part of $1 million. Is that just league revenue? Like, what happens to that?
It always
fine
goes
money?
Into some fund for like the kids or something.
Mysterious, yeah, I know.
But I'm saying in a league, all right, there's 22 guys on the field not wearing masks.
Right.
There's another 30 guys behind you on the bench who aren't wearing masks. Then it's kind of catch-as-catch-can in between that, referees and assistant coaches and line, you know, the guys running the chain gang and stuff like that. Why is it so important that you have a mask on and then pull it down and pull it up and you're outside and who cares?
And they're huffing and puffing like you're talking about getting your breath out there.
Yeah, sweating on each other.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think it's symbolic in as far as that goes. And then another thing I haven't told AJ about, but you guys heard me ranting about it. I keep thinking about my Southwest flight from Phoenix to LA last week. 55-minute flight, 15 warnings up and down the aisle about pull the mask up.
Right.
The mask got more attention than the seatbelt. The seatbelt has finally taken a backseat to the mask. You know when you'd have the seatbelt clicked in, but your sweat jacket would be over it, and they go, sir, go lift that sweat jacket, so make sure you got that. Up and down, mask up. 20 minutes later, here's a sack of pretzels, mask down, everybody. And everyone's putting their fingers in their mouth. The only way to eat, you can't eat pretzels with a fork.
No.
With a fork and knife.
It's all your fingers in your mouth.
Like,
on a 55-minute flight, here's a sack of pretzels, take your mask down, put your fingers in your mouth.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem sanitary. Seems like if this was let's put it this way, if these guys had scrubbed into an operation, do you think we'd be handing out sacks of pretzels and all the students would be pulling their masks down and put their fingers in their mouth?
No.
Don't give the pretzels out, or don't get so preachy about the mask.
I was telling Gina before, I was at Caesar's Palace a couple of weeks ago, and it's 119 degrees outside, and they're like, you got to wear a mask if you're going to sit here in the sun. I said, well, I'm not. Well, then you got to go in the pool, and the masks are optional. I said, how can I not wear a mask? Give me that rule. Well, you can be in the pool and drink. Then that's
no problem.
What I'll do.
I'll
hook it right here, and I sat there and had two drinks for an hour, probably $70 with those friggin' drinks. And I was able to sit there without a mask and drink and talk to people who didn't wear masks. But there were numbskulls walking in the pool with masks. In the pool.
In the pool. Yeah. In the pool. Water. Yeah. In the pool.
And I'm talking 107 degrees. I mean...
In the diving mask.
It's
a diving bell.
I feel in Vegas, smoking would be a reason not to wear a mask, too. Or do you put a hole in the mask? How does smoking with the mask go?
It defeats the mask.
It's so gross in Vegas, too, because I said this, and then things started happening. You go down to play, and then the casino wasn't that bad, but the crowd that it's attracted to Vegas now is not the kind of crowd, you know. When the prices are motel room prices, you're going to get a certain crowd, and everybody's running around the casino with no masks on, and they're gambling, and they've got a bottle of Hennessy and a bottle of ginger ale. I'm sorry if I gave that away with the description, and no masks, nobody telling them put your mask on. It's all ridiculous. It's just junk.
What were you doing in Vegas?
I went to do a podcast out there with Brian Howie, Political Junkies. I like him. He's great. And,
so you just had you as a guest?
Yeah. So I flew out there. They put me up at Caesars. I loved it. And here's the thing. I didn't like the vibe because when I got to Caesars, I saw a guy being put down on the floor. You don't see that at Caesars, you know. And I'm like, oh, that's weird. So I go to my room. The next night, I'm coming up the elevator. And, you know, if you win money, I wasn't with anybody, but if you're with a girl, you got some money in your pocket, and there's a black kid with a pit bull by the elevator. Very bad look for Caesar's Palace. And about 10 minutes later, I hear a bunch of feet running up the stairwell, security guards with the whole, you know, nightsticks, whatever, all the tools, and they run down my hallway, and I'm like watching, and I finally grab the guy. I go, what's up? They go, we had a little bit of a Black Lives Matter thing going on at the pool, and now we found where they're staying, so we got to get them out of here. And like seven guys to a room with a pit bull and a girl, and I'm hearing a lot about that's my baby daddy, that kind of crap. And you know what? Not a good – Vegas, not a good look right now, man. Not a good look.
You sound set in your ways. If you as long as we're piling on black folk, I saw a video. So the scariest, I've always said it was that Prius, that white Prius video with the truck out here in, I don't know, Los Angeles, Wilshire.
Yeah, it was like Sunset and Vine.
Thursday night. And I have said a million times, and I am possibly alone in this in terms of law enforcement. When I hear about people robbing banks, I'm not surprised by it. Banks are basically an apartment building filled with money, and high people come in there with a gun and want to take some of the money out of that building. It makes, by the way, if we didn't have bank robbers, it wouldn't make sense to me, right? Everyone needs money.
Sure.
And this house, the bank, holds the money.
With an old guard.
With an old guy. Yeah, so why wouldn't you go in there? Why aren't there more bank robberies is basically what I'm saying. And I get like insurance fraud, and I get the part where you have, you know, loveless relationship for 37 years and you poison your partner and you want to collect, you know, whatever. I get all that. What scares me the most is crazy, senseless, kind of spontaneous violence. Mm. The spontaneous stuff bothers me because the spontaneous stuff is like, look, if you want to avoid the bank robbery stuff, don't get a job at a bank. And if you want to avoid the part where your wife of 37 years is poisoning you, then tell her she looks good in a sundress every once in a while and eat her pussy and get on with your life. But the crazy walking down the sidewalk stuff, that could be any one of us.
Punching someone in the side of the head.
Just that kind of stuff freaks me out. And it's the scariest citizen.
Yeah.
That oftentimes we go lighter on than the wife that poisons the husband, you know. And I saw some footage from the other night, and it's like back to Black Lives Matter protest, rally, whatever. Every once in a while, someone just turns down the wrong street.
Yes.
And their car gets surrounded. And they're trying to get home, you know.
Whether the Lakers won the championship or there's a Black Lives Matter rally.
Right. They're just trying. All they want to do is get out of there in one piece.
Hit the gas.
By the way, they want to get out of there in one piece without hitting anybody.
You got to hit the gas.
They don't want to touch anyone. And someone in this Prius was like, and I talked to Drew about it yesterday, actually. It's like a 17-year-old kid was driving, like, just people are banging on the car and stuff, and they just wanted to get out of there. So they just kind of fished their way through a crowd. And people were chasing the car as if they did something.
Yeah. It got much worse from there.
Right. They just wanted to get home. So at some certain point, they got away from the crowd. They got down the street. Everything seemed to be okay. And a big raised pickup truck went flying down the street. This is when things are fairly lawless. I guess you can do this. Went flying down the street a mile, turned right in front, locked up the brakes, skidded in front. The person in the Prius came to a stop, like a motorcycle pulled up. The guy jumped out of the truck and just started smashing his hand through. I don't know if the window was open, grabbed the person behind the wheel. The Prius started punching the person. Like, all this person was doing was driving, trying to get home. Then a Mustang pulled up, and then they backed up more.
Look at this.
They were going to pull the person out of the car and kill them for the crime of driving.
You're exactly right.
Other people are banging on it with skateboards and mountain bikes. Like, people are smashing against the car. Thank God the person got it into gear and took off. But I don't. First off, that person's driving a Prius. They're on your side. What are you doing?
Yeah, right.
It's the scary. And then later on, the cops pulled over the guy in the Prius.
Same thing. Listen, last night, I'm picking up pizza for the family at Ove Pizza.
You eat pizza?
Yeah, of course. Hey, listen, once in a while. On Ventura and Coldwater, I grab a pie, and I'm trying to get onto Ventura out of the parking lot, and I couldn't make it, and I gas it, and I get in, and a white BMW is giving me shit. He's behind me, honking, giving me the finger. I'm, fuck you, back, the whole thing. We get to the next light. I'm like, what the fuck's your problem? Fuck you, that kind of shit. We get to Laurel. And now we're jawing at each other, and I'm just giving him all sorts of shit. And he pulls in front of me, and he hits the brakes, and now I'm stopped. And he gets out of the car, and I go, and I had somebody on the phone, thank God, because she heard the whole thing. I go, what the fuck are you going to do? We're going to fight now? Is this it? You're going to fucking kill me? Over what? He goes, man, what the fuck are you doing? I said, I'm trying to fucking drive. And I go, you got a gun? You going to shoot me? And he picks up his shirt, and there's a fucking 9mm.
Wow.
And he had, like, ugly little, like, sweatpants, like, a nobody. This guy's packing. And I go, holy shit, you got a gun. You going to shoot me? And he's like, pfft. And I go, oh, I'm fucking believable. Like, I'm going to get killed over a pie, a pizza pie.
What toppings you get?
I got mushroom and garlic and a little extra sauce.
Oh, interesting.
So I'm going to go, listen, nowadays I'm going to die. I want the right shit. You know? I'm not going to skimp.
So all I'm saying is the scariest thing in the world is the person who's driving the pickup truck when the guy in the Prius threads, and when I say guy, I mean 17-year-old, I guess, the kid, carefully thread their way through the crowd.
They're
just trying to get out of there.
Course.
People are banging on the car, and they get out, and then you go run them down, stop in front of them, and then, I guess, attempt to kill them once you catch up to them for the crime of going home that night.
People are going to die.
You're so right to bring this up because, you know, we cover these protests every night. And once in a while, you will get a vehicle that is trying to maliciously mow down people in a crowd or whatever, or just acting erratically. But when you see that and then you hear about, oh, white Prius, the first thing you think is, oh, white Prius trying to mow down everybody in the crowd. But if you stop and you look at the footage, you're absolutely right. Trying to thread the needle just to get around the corner. Looks like you're trying to kill the crowd.
Yeah, but you just got to imagine your kid in the back seat. They don't care if there's a kid in the baby seat or they don't care about that. So, yeah, I'm going to hit the gas eventually, and we'll talk about the consequences tomorrow when I get locked up. But I'm not going to sit there and get beat.
All the footage I've seen, whether they hit the crowd or not hit the crowd, whether it's a cop car or civilian car, is some version of the person in the car trying to get out of that situation. That's
well, the cop SUV in New York.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because if you sit there for any period of time, then you're getting pulled out of the car and stomped to death.
Like, right.
And at that time, there's a scenario. So it's like there is a point where you're in the shark cage and the sharks are outside of the cage. At a certain point, you're going to be outside of the shark cage.
Yeah, yeah.
For that moment, when you're in the shark cage,
yeah,
then you have the advantage, and that's your right foot, and you hit the accelerator.
Right.
Like, and by the way, could you imagine, and I'll put this to everybody, your husband or your wife is in the car. Your kid or kids are in the back seat. The crowd gathers around the car. They're smashing the windows. They're banging on the roof. Mm. And your wife and or significant other goes, I just wanted to be super cautious and make sure I didn't hit anybody. And I stopped the car and I didn't. Or would you go, fuck it, just
no,
fucking
just
hit it.
It.
Just get out of
go.
There.
Yeah, go.
Just get
but
out of
the
there.
The smashing of the car is an act of aggression,
go.
As far as I know.
Right.
So at that point, it's just get the fuck away.
And if someone's
who
gonna,
knows if the guy's got a pipe or a weapon? You get away.
And if someone's going to stand in front of your car and dance on the hood, then if you accelerate and they fall off the hood, that'll be on
too
them.
Because
they're not supposed to be on
I'm
the
I'm not going
to
be the next Reginald Denny. You're not going to pull me out of my car and beat me with a brick.
So anyway, that was interesting footage. And I think I talked to Drew about the kid. I think it was a 17-year-old who was driving
the car.
He looks
very young. I mean, not that you can tell by saying Prius and flip-flops. That could be any age. But yeah, he did look really young. I don't know if any of you have ever experienced, though something tells me you have, a random person or one stranger like beating on your car window. But it's happened to me one time. And it was because he wasn't paying attention or he was like, I don't know, fucking around talking on his phone. And I gave him a little beep beep that the light had turned green. He stopped his car, got out. He had a girl in the car with him, like a girlfriend or wife, and started banging on my window and calling me names. And I was terrified.
Yeah.
And that was one dude.
Right.
If there was 20 people doing that, it would be I'd have a heart attack.
No, man.
I had it stupidly enough. We. I told you guys before, we did the man, we're right in the height of the man show. We're going into like season three, and Drew and I were doing Loveline was popular, and Drew and I were doing a speaking engagement like UC Santa Barbara. And we all went out there. So the story was me and Drew were going to go to UC Santa Barbara, and we decided to have like a man show writer's retreat in Santa Barbara because it's right before we're going to start the man show. And it was one of these things where we used to have a writer's retreat for the man show. And we wouldn't get any work done, but it's like, I'll let the studio pay for it. We'll all show up at some cabin somewhere and pretend to talk about ideas.
Right.
And so I said, well, I'm going to UC Santa Barbara. I'm like, we'll throw a party there. Jeff Ross and Cousin Sal, and like Jimmy and all those guys. So I did UC Santa Barbara that night, and there was a frat party. It was like a big frat party. And Danny Two Sheets, Daniel Kelso, was like, hey, we're going to a frat party, you know? And so it turned out to be a scene where the guys from the man show were at a frat party in the height of the man show power. So everyone started going nuts.
At
a certain point, it got out of hand.
Yeah, sure.
At a certain point, we all retreated to the big rental van like Cousin Sal was driving. And it was like the Isla Vista thing. And everyone piled out into the streets. Everyone would pile out like Halloween in Isla Vista. And so all these frat dudes, everyone had piled out. And we're all in the van. And they're all drunk. And at this point, they're all like rocking the van and whatever. And Cousin Sal is driving. And I'm like, just keep moving, keep moving. And they're like pulling on the windshield wipers. And they're standing in front.
God.
And Sal's being, you know, real careful not to hurt anyone. But I'm like, don't stop. Don't stop. Keep going. And if they want to stand in front of the van, then push them out of the way.
Yeah.
Just nudge them out of the way.
Right.
They need to move. You just keep. If we stop, the van's going to be turned over.
Yeah.
So it was like it was a very minor version of what just happened there. Mm. But it's like just keep rolling forward. And if you're in front of the car, you will move as we move forward.
Of course.
I'm sorry, you had a news story there, Maxipata, that was on the screen, but it's not anymore.
Oh, yeah, well, I was looking for the video. It's kind of funny. I was going through, like, Facebook and all the news outlets, and they've been changing their headlines about this story.
Yeah,
so, like, ABC7 started with Prius plows through protesters in Hollywood.
Of course.
Activist gives chase, and then a lot of people complained, so they changed it to Prius drives through protesters.
Oh, yes.
And then a KTLA said two vehicles plow through Hollywood crowd protesting Breonna Taylor's killing, because there's a pickup truck that did it too.
How do you plow through a crowd without hitting anyone at 4 miles an hour, making sure to avoid any human who's in front of me? That is not plowing through a crowd, you fucking liars.
Wait, you're going to love this. Here's KTLA's coverage of the story.
Here it is.
Hundreds of protesters headed to Hollywood last night demanding justice for Breonna Taylor. As the crowd of around 300 marched, protesters spilled from the sidewalk onto the street. By now, the crowd has made its way to Sunset and Cahuenga. Again, the driver of the vehicle steers into the middle of the protesters. You can see someone go up to the window.
That's what he did, yeah. He's aiming, yeah. He's a vigilante.
He steered into the middle of the protesters.
Hugging the corner.
Or is he hugging the corner? Yeah. By the way, hey, bitch, don't do news stories. You go, you can see. No, we can't see that. Nobody can see that. It looks like he's hugging the corner to try to get out.
Yes.
And let's not forget that this is 8 or 10 miles away from the spot where there was a horrific example of someone plowing through a crowd. Remember the Santa Monica Farmers
Market?
Oh, my God.
Seven, eight years ago, whatever it was. That was plowing through a crowd trying to kill people.
Right.
That was an elderly person that lost their mind.
He had a heart attack.
You can kill people if you want to plow through them, but go ahead. No. Sorry.
Out has made its way to Sunset and Cahuenga. Again, the driver of the vehicle steers into the middle of the protesters. You can see someone go up to the window of the Prius, trying to get the driver to stop.
Trying to help him.
The Prius backs up, hits the car.
What the fuck is with the news? What is with the news?
Like, saunters up.
No, he flew in front of the pickup truck, was going to kill the 70-year-old.
You might as well call him a Good Samaritan. A Good Samaritan came to his window.
And they cut out the entire chase and the pickup truck like stopping in front. Keep playing it.
All right, keep playing it. Sorry.
You can see someone
just
play
from
the
top because this is insane. Like, he plowed through the middle of the crowd, or he drove through the middle of the crowd. He sucked all the way to the right curb, and then they caught up to him, and then they were going to kill him inside the car.
Sure.
Street. By now, the crowd has made its way to Sunset and Cahuenga. Again, the driver of the vehicle steers into the middle of the protesters. You can see someone go up to the window of the Prius, trying to get the driver to stop. The Prius backs up, hits the car behind it, and then another truck pulls in front of the Prius and pins it in.
Oh.
But the driver is able to maneuver and escape. That is until the LAPD catches up with it about 3 blocks away.
Well, it's good they got him, because Breonna Taylor was such a fucking angel. And I'm so glad we're protesting about this girl in the middle of a drug trafficking ring. Don't get me started on her. What a bunch of shit this is.
I know.
Her boyfriend shoots at a cop. This chick is in the hallway. She's not in bed, George Clooney. She's not sleeping, you little fuck. She's a bad girl. They used her house because she has good credit, and that's why she had a home and a car. And by the way, there was a dead body in one of her fucking cars. How about that story? No one talks about it.
Should we say allegedly?
Yeah,
no, it's all true. It's all true. Go ahead, put it up.
Yeah,
go
we
ahead.
Have an intro for AJ.
Go ahead. We're all going to jail.
Allegedly, with AJ Benza. Called that so we don't get sued.
I did have a lengthy discussion with Mark Gargis about no knocks and just sort of warrants and resting, and as it pertains to Breonna Taylor, as it pertains to all the judges. I don't know. Do you want to play that? I thought it was kind of interesting.
Really good, yeah.
There's a part of it there's a part that's pretty interesting that I found, which is as I was drilling down on it with Gargis, which is the judge okayed 5 warrants in 12 minutes. Like, the judge was just like, go ahead.
Okay.
And I thought it was sort of interesting. We talked for a long time. I told Chris just to kind of cobble it together, sort of asking in general. We talked about Roger Stone and all the cops showing up at his place. We talked about
Lori
Loughlin, all like having like, why do you have to go get these people? Why can't they be surrendered? Their attorneys will surrender them. Like, or just wait for Breonna Taylor the next day. Anyway, we'll play the clip. We'll see how it sounds.
What it was historically is they said, cops said to judges, and judges bought it, well, you got to have a no knock because there's exigent circumstances. And the exigent circumstances, and by the way, this all arose out of this idiotic war on drugs, which is most of the bad consequences in U.S. Jurisprudence. But the war on drugs, the cops started saying, well, the only way we can get the evidence is we got to bang down the door. Remember Daryl Gates and the battering rams. Right. We got to bang down the door because otherwise they're going to flush the drugs down the toilet and then we got no evidence. Okay. Who cares? But anyway.
Yeah. Mark, let me jump in. Yeah. I've always sort of said, why not just surveil the place? And then when they get up and leave for work in the morning and they're walking out with their commuter mug, you just slide up on them and put zip ties on them and tell them to sit on the curb. Why not that? What do you think they're doing that night?
Yeah, you explain it to me. I've argued that. I've argued that very thing. There was no exigent circumstances. There was no reason to come in at midnight or 2 or 4. You know, California's got a variation on the search warrant night service, yes or no. Most judges smartly and judiciously press no. But there really is not, I don't think, and there's, you can make a legal argument now that the U.S. Supreme Court has said, unless you can get in and do a with specificity, as to why that there's no need for it.
Well,
and
let me ask real quick. You know, Lori Loughlin, Roger Stone. Why do they have to go to those people's houses in the wee hours?
And that's for an arrest. I mean, you know, that's right. There's absolutely no exigent circumstances there. Wait until they exit, as you're saying. Pull them over in the car. Pull them over as they walk down the driveway. And in a lot of ways, Breonna Taylor and these no-knock warrants are even worse because they are search warrants as opposed to arrest warrants. A search warrant is not only are we just looking for somebody to grab, and your point, why don't you just wait till they come out? But the search warrant is the middle of the night, we got to go search this place. We're going to go in there, as you say, in a densely populated place, and we're just going to wreak havoc in a place. Let me suggest something. It's just because there are no consequences.
Right.
It's just because there is this awful thing called qualified immunity. It's just because there isn't any kind of punishment other than once the populace gets upset. And this is rare. What's happened in the last 7 or 8 months is light years from what we've been toiling against for the last 40 years.
Well, there you go.
Can I just say something? Because I did this on my show. First of all, I think why the cops do it sometimes is to show the community that they really mean business. I think that's a big part of it. But I'll say this about her. I wrote this, so I'm not speaking.
Allegedly.
No. Well, okay, whatever. Whatever you want to say. But I'm going to say this because everybody's making her out to be a fucking queen. She wasn't shot while she was in her bed. She was in the hallway. She was not an EMT at the time of her death. She was forced to quit years ago because a dead body was found in a car rented under her name. The victim was an associate of a drug-dealing boyfriend of hers. Even though a no-knock warrant was issued, the officers did knock, so they were polite that night. Her neighbors testified under oath that the police announced themselves before trying to enter the apartment. Her boyfriend shot a cop before the police fired the first round, and she was still aiding and abetting her previous boyfriend's drug-dealing operation. She and her car, and I've read 150 pages of all the shit the cops went through, plus all the transcripts of the phone calls of her boyfriends in jail talking about this. None of them blame the cops. But no one's talking about this. It was a trap house. I used to hang out at trap houses. I know what it's like. I know where they stash the shit. They find someone whose record is clean, and they use that person's house. It's like getting somebody with a good background for a liquor license. It's no different. She was stashing drug money at the house. Her address was on record as being the current address on bank records. Her ex-boyfriend blamed her at the time. Her ex-boyfriend blamed her at the time boyfriend for her death, not the cops. And it goes on from there. They put up a picture of this chick, and I worked for newspapers for 20-something years. You can say a lot with a picture. There's a picture of her collecting some kind of plaque or some shit. I don't know what it is, but she looks like an awfully sweet girl in the picture. There's two sides to everybody, man.
AJ's got the name of the three cops on his tennis shoes, by the way.
I go deep in this. I'm ready.
Do you have more? Because I don't want to interrupt.
Yeah, okay, I have a little more. Real quick. I wrote this down. For the uneducated and willfully ignorant, it was not the DA who determined the police officers should not be indicted. It was a grand jury, the most impartial of all arbiters. Her address and vehicle were on the warrant. The left and media have been lying to you. It's unfortunate that she was shot and died, but the police did nothing wrong. If people want to blame, if people want to BLM, which is to say burn, loot, and murder, over the grand jury's decision, apply the law to them. Brianna was involved with and profiting from drug trafficking. Blame her, her boyfriend, or her ex-boyfriend for her death, not the cops. Period. That's all.
Well, I think what we can probably agree on is that a bunch of things can be true at the same time. The cops could have acted within their job description or within their professional bounds or whatever, and someone can tragically be dead simultaneously.
Sure.
There's a lot of gray. There's a lot of in between. There's a lot, you know, when we've now formed a society where we go, this innocent person is dead. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
And my feeling is both things can be true. She can be an innocent person who was killed by the cops, and the cops could have acted within the bounds of whatever their job description was.
Yeah, I agree.
AJ, do you know if the ex-boyfriend and the current boyfriend knew each other?
They did know each other, and they didn't like each other. And the first guy, I think his name is LaMarcus, I think, was unhappy that she was with the other guy. And all the phone call transcripts that I read, and it was pages and pages, because once you're in jail, it's like public record. You can read those phone calls. All he would say over and over was, you know, he got Brianna killed. He got Brianna killed. You know, and I could speak. He said a lot worse than that. But he wasn't talking about the motherfucking cops came in and shot her. No, it was this motherfucker got her killed constantly.
Where do you get those transcripts?
I got people who dig for me and, you know.
He's got a guy.
I got guys. I got guys all over.
All right. We're going to move on. We're going to do some AJ stories. We're going to do I think we're going to play some Rotten Tomatoes as well.
Beautiful.
All right. Let me hit BetterHelp, and then we'll get some of those stories and some Rotten Tomatoes as well. BetterHelp Online, licensed professional counselors specialize in depression, anxiety, relationships, sleep, anger, self-esteem, and more. Connect with a counselor. Do it in a safe, private, online environment. Anything shared is confidential. Boy, these days, more than ever, man, people got to get their heads straight. BetterHelp is a good way to do that. Simply fill out a questionnaire that assesses your needs. Get matched in under 48 hours. Easily schedule secure video or phone sessions, plus exchange unlimited messages. If for any reason you're unhappy, with your counselor, you can request a new one anytime, no charge. Join the over 1 million people using BetterHelp. In fact, so many people are using BetterHelp that they're actually recruiting additional counselors in 50 states. It's BetterHelp, right, Dawson?
BetterHelp is a truly affordable option, and our listeners get 10% off your first month with discount code Corolla. So why not get started today? Go to BetterHelp.com/Corolla. That's BetterHelp.com/CarolLa. Talk to a therapist online and get help.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back and do AJ's stories and some Rotten Tomatoes right after this.
The Adam Carolla Show presents AJ Benza's Birthday Cocktail Party. For June 2nd, let's see who's on the guest list. Actor Stacy Keach. The Yorkshire Ripper, English serial killer Peter Sutcliffe. Dana Carvey joins us. Be Real. The Mac Guy, Justin Long. And Jerry Mathers as the Beaver. Let's get back to the Adam Carolla Show.
A little light, AJ.
No, you forgot Marquis de Sade.
June 2nd, 1740.
Marquis de Sade, and that's my main guest. He's the guy.
All right.
He's the guest of honor.
Is that Kaylin not knowing who that
no,
is?
No, that was me, but it was I guess I glanced over it.
A man who they put in prison and they stopped him from writing. It took away his pen and his pencil. And you know what he ended up doing? He wrote with his own shit on the wall.
Really?
You couldn't stop the bastard.
Wow.
I like to think I'm a lot like him.
I would like to say, though, that on this day, list of birthdays for June 2nd, the one person not listed is AJ Benzo.
Oh, what the?
No, I need some more time.
Travesty.
A few more appearances here. You never know. I get bumped up. I get bumped right up.
All right. You got some stories from the world of Hollywood or beyond?
I had something funny that I thought I'd bring up. And listen, I don't want to get too touchy here. I'm watching the Emmys the other night, which was a shit show. I love the Emmys. I love all the pomp and circumstance, which is gone now from award shows. But I like to see. It's disgusting. It was the Blemmys, the Black Emmys. Okay. I didn't like seeing Jimmy repeat Black Lives Matter with Anthony Anderson three times, treating him like a fucking circus monkey. That bothered the shit out of me. And I thought of you. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you're going to go, AJ, who gives a shit? You know, Jimmy's my friend. He's doing what he's got to do. I don't know. I just felt like, come on, Jimmy, don't be this way. Don't let Anthony Anderson make you say Black Lives Matter three times. It bothered me. Now, that's the first part. You don't have to answer because he's your good friend. I don't want to put.
Brian's making noise.
Okay.
Brian,
it was probably rehearsed.
Of course it was. But it's a stupid bit. It's dumb.
I will ask because I was sort of going back and forth with that. I was like, was it? It must have been. And then it's
sure.
But not everything. You'd be surprised how much stuff just kind of.
Well, you know Jimmy's face. Can you tell sometimes that things are coming out of left field that weren't in the script?
There's something called Sunday Night Football. I don't know if you know. They have Monday night, but they have Sunday night as well.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I just taped it and I was kind of watching it. And, I'll ask him. I couldn't tell.
Okay. That's the thing. And I go, fucking Jimmy. I love Jimmy, but I hate that. I also, I've been listening to Dax Shepard's podcast, right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I actually like his podcast a lot. He's got a good guest on. But I'll tell you, not to say I predicted this, because that's not the case. But I did know he recently came out and said his sobriety was knocked in half because his father was dying 8 years ago. And they got high together on Percocet, which is completely understandable. But lately he's done it again. And he's been lying to Kristen Bell and his podcast partner. And, you know, I felt when I'm listening to the podcast, there was a show where he said, I'm going to tell my kids to do, you know, there's some drugs you can do, like mushrooms. You can do mushrooms. You can do this. Just don't do coke. But, he just, skated over alcohol. And I just thought to myself, that's not the way a guy in sobriety talks. Like, that's not the way he should be.
Well, did he got into a motorcycle accident, he cracked some ribs and stuff like
that. A bunch of accidents, yeah.
Don't, first off, cracked ribs is
terrible.
Exquisitely painful.
Terrible. There's no cast.
You can't breathe. You can't laugh.
You can't laugh. You can't hiccup. A sneeze is excruciating when you have cracked ribs. So, did the motorcycle accident lead to the pain?
Yeah, that's what precipitated. He's got hands like you. He took a bad fall a few times, but he's got seven surgeries. And, you know, doctors prescribe Vicodin, so he's taken them, and Kristen has doled him out, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, once an addict, you know how to get an extra 30 OxyContins from a guy you knew 10 years ago. It's, not hard. So I felt bad for the guy that he has to go on this apology, not really a campaign, but he went on his show and he said, look, I'm coming clean. Here's what I've been doing. And I think people are beating him up. And I just feel like, give the fucking guy a break. Like, he 16 years, he got high up with his dad because his dad was dying. They went to a lake and took Percocet together. They didn't ever got along, and they got along that night. It's like a movie.
Right.
And then he crashes his motorcycle a bunch of times, and he overdid the Vicodin, and he bought some Oxys. The thing about guys who are addicts and this sobriety thing is that I just think they're so fucking hard on themselves. I wish you could just let it go away. It happened. You know, you got your team in place. I don't think you have to come on the air and tell everybody in America, I fucked up. Huh? Don't hate me.
I wonder if that's part of the strategy where you put it out there, you sort of put everyone on notice to check you, to look after you.
Could be.
You're hard on yourself intentionally because it's sort of like, I don't know, it's like saying I'm on a diet. If anyone sees me eating a piece of cake, slap it out of my hands. Like I'm putting it out. Yeah. I'm pushing it out there.
Right.
I wonder if that's part of it.
I don't know. Or it could be. It could be. I hate to say this. I don't think so. It could be. Does he need publicity for the show? I don't want to say that. That's a no.
Wait,
I don't.
Didn't you say
I don't even. I don't mean it though.
He asked the question.
Some people could do that. It's he got national news.
That's full Trump mode. Like Nancy Pelosi.
People are saying terrible things.
Speaking of what AJ said, I heard a word one time and I'd never heard it before. You know, like I think we've talked about freegans who are vegans unless the food is free.
Oh
and then it's
God,
like,
that's funny.
So I also heard the term freelapse when a friend of mine in the program who, somebody gave him a drink at a party. They said it was club soda. And they're like, this doesn't taste like club soda. Oh, shit. Does that mean I have, to start over? And it's a freelapse. You didn't know you were doing it.
You know, when I think about it, though, it is an interesting bedfellow because a lot of the folks who were addicts are basically adrenaline junkies. A lot of them are adrenaline junkies. So they get out of doing the pills and they start getting into free climbing and motorcycle riding and paragliding and stuff you can get injured doing. And then when you get injured doing whatever that thing is, and you got bunch of pins in your shin,
you get the good shit.
You get the good shit. Yeah. Like it seems like a very dangerous combination of I'm going to be sober, but I'm going to go do some hot laps at Laguna Seca on my Can-Am motorcycle. And next thing you know, you're undergoing surgery. And then where are we at?
You know about racing, but I mean, the pictures of him on his bike, man, his hands are this close to the ground on these turns. He's
dragging that knee.
His knee. But and then the other thing I was going to say that kind of is kind of interesting, Ben Affleck, who's suffered with sobriety on and off. He's doing, because I said jokingly to Laxamana before, I'm like, look, maybe fucking Dax is having a hard time being married to Kristen Bell. I could imagine. I wouldn't want to be straight the whole time with her either. You know, she could be a real pain in the ass. She looks like. So she looks like she'd be a pain in the ass.
No, she looks like the opposite of a pain in the ass. But physically,
looks like angelic.
Yeah, if you were just
you're right. Yes, of course. But that would be a pain in the ass.
Just looked at a headshot. You wouldn't think so. But
I get you.
I am sure she's a handful.
She's an actress. Now Ben Affleck's got this hot Latin piece of ass, Ana de Armas, and now they're like moving in. He's moving her into his $18 million house. And I said weeks and weeks ago that this guy's going to put a baby in her. Like, I know he is. And this next move. And now you don't hear anything about him getting drunk anymore. Remember Halloween last year? He was falling down the street practically wearing a mask at some party. TMZ caught him. And it was like, oh, Ben, this is so bad. He finds Ana de Armas. And now all they're doing is going on walks, drinking coffee and, walking their dogs. There's something to be said about the chick you're with and the life you're living. And he's not doing any extreme sports.
No,
the hot piece of ass. Banging a Latin chick, which is extreme as it gets.
The Latin chick, the hot piece of ass, the star of Knives Out and
Blade Runner. Oh, yeah, no, she's hot shit. Yeah, she's a great actress, sure. Anna's a great actress.
I don't know anything, but when I was young, I would always hear this phrase going, woman, you're going to drive me to drinking. That's all I know. I don't know if it's scientific. I haven't vetted it with Dr. Drew, but I have heard driven to drinking.
It's got
to
be true.
All right, you got another story, AJ?
Story that's just coming out of my ass here. Let me think. Anything going on?
You don't have to.
No,
we can do Rotten Tomatoes.
Let's do Rotten Tomatoes. I didn't come equipped with a bunch of stuff. But
AJ, we're hot into election season.
Oh,
good. Any Hunter Biden stuff?
Oh, you know what? I'm just, I have a gut feeling that I think this Amy Coney Barrett is going to crack under pressure. I think,
really?
She's going to make it through what they're going to put her through. She's just too sweet looking and too nice. And I think whatever training they put her through, I'm sure they're getting her ready in some room. And they're throwing everything at her. I see her cracking Because Kavanaugh was practically on his face that day. I don't think she's going to get through it. I don't think she's going to get through it. It's going to be a disaster.
Wait a minute. Is this you being a chauvinist?
No. Listen, I want her in, but I think she's going to crack because they're going to be too hard on her.
Well, what is
they're
going
to go after her kids.
She's adopted a couple of black kids from
Haitian kids.
Yeah,
they're going to go after that. Was it legal? They're going to go after that.
Her religion's like, what's it called? Like
friends of praise, people of praise. It's within a religion. Within a religion, it's more. Right. You know, it sounds culty, and that's all they need. And I'm telling you, she's not the kind of chick that can. She's going to crack under pressure, and it's going to be a big thing. You'll see. A couple days from now.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
Prediction.
I know that the religion is going to be the angle, and she probably has plenty of statements that sound plenty religious and crackpotty, so I'm sure that'll happen. But I don't know if she's going to crack, because think about people. I don't know what you guys think. This is my Evander Holyfield theorem, and I'll be curious what you think. Evander Holyfield is the only guy I ever met who looked forward to fighting Mike Tyson. Like, he's like, oh, this is going to be fun.
Yeah.
And Evander Holyfield beat Mike Tyson 2 times. First off, Evander Holyfield beat Mike Tyson because he's like, I'm going to do something that no one else does with Mike Tyson, which is I'm going to bully him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to stand in the middle of the ring with this guy and take it to him. I'm going to trade.
Was that the ear biting fight or was that the one before?
That was the second fight. Oh, no. Okay. Sorry. Could have been the first fight. The first fight, I'm pretty sure you look it up. I think the ear was the first fight because he fought him again after he bit his ear.
Right.
So, first off, Evander Holyfield was like, they always say, you don't hook with a hooker. And we're not talking about the gals that Jimmy sends to college. I go, if this guy is a big time hooker, if Mike Tyson is knocking, though the ear was fight two, sorry. If Mike Tyson's knocking everyone out throwing these hooks, then don't stand and trade and throw hooks with a hooker.
Right. I get what you're saying.
But Evander Holyfield's like, I'm looking forward to fighting this guy, and I'm not worried about it, and I'm going to bully him. I'll stand in the middle of the ring, and I'll trade, which is always the worst. It's the worst strategy to fight Tyson, stand and trade. But I will stand and trade. And then he won, and then like 10 minutes later, Tyson's like, I'd like to fight again. And Holyfield's like, okay, we'll do it again. And then he bit his ear off in the second fight. But the point is Evander Holyfield is so insanely religious, that's why he did it. I'm completely convinced.
I like that.
He had
angle.
The Lord on his side. He didn't think he could be harmed. God had blessed him. Everyone else is scared shitless of Mike Tyson. He's like, yeah, but I got the Lord on my side.
Mm.
So I think about these folks like Coney Barrett, and I think to myself, wait a minute, if she's that deeply religious, then what is she worried about Maisie Hirono for? You know what I mean?
She's not a 215-pound black chiseled black man who can fight. I just think she's delicate. But let me just say this real quick. I think I feel that the reason that Holyfield had an edge over Tyson is because remember in the Olympics that Tyson didn't make the Olympic team. Henry Tillman, right? Tillman made it.
Mm-hmm.
And
Tillman was an American heavyweight.
Right. But Tillman was in prison, and they got him out of prison to train with the Olympics. And if you make the team, you don't have to serve time in jail, that kind of thing. And Tyson couldn't beat the guy.
That's a movie.
And when
right
he when Tyson – well, it's going
right
to be.
Well, Tyson couldn't beat him when he was 17.
But when he couldn't beat him – he did make he destroyed the locker room, cried his eyes out, did make the Olympic team, and the only guy to console him and hug him through those tears was Evander Holyfield. And I always felt like there's something psychological in Mike's head that was the guy who held him while he cried as a young.
That's why he bit his ear off.
Yeah, who knows? Who the fuck?
That's a fine. How do you do?
Total side tangential memory here, but I'm gonna throw this out to the whole everyone. I think Tyson Holyfield 2 was, I think, the first time I really remember, I really noticed an adult getting drunk. You know, like your teenage years, like you're like, that's that, there's that first time where you're like, oh, that guy's fucking wasted. It's like, we watched the fight at our neighbor's house. He got the pay-per-view or whatever. And he invited another friend over and the friend, you know, got drunk or whatever. And as we're leaving the fight, like, wow, that was some crazy shit. We're walking back to our house. The neighbor's friend is walking back to his car with his teenage son. And all he comes yelling is obviously trying to make us know. Notice this joke is Tyson is irrational.
Oh God!
Tyson is irrational. He's yelling that as he like stumbled back to his car, like, "Oh, the fucking guy's wasted." Do you guys ever have like a moment like that? Like, oh, that's the first time I really noticed an adult being wasted.
I remember being at my friend Chris Bohm's house, and his dad Rick, Big Rick, came home. And he worked at a transmission shop, and he's wearing like zip up boots, like Beetle boots, right. But like transmission dungarees and stuff. And it's like Friday, and he'd been drinking probably after work, you know. And I was laying on the floor watching TV, like on the carpet, just watching TV. And he like sat on the sofa above me, and he kind of used me as an ottoman. Like he took his boots and he put on my back, put his boots on my back, ripped a huge fart, and then yelled, "Speak out, old toothless one!" it was clearly lit. Because I remember his wife like going, "Come on, Rick, come on now. Yeah, you've had enough."
Enough. That's great.
You beat mine.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's good.
Mine was my friend's mom falling over in the yard, laughing her ass off, calling me a Jew.
Oh, well, there you go. That's a quick one. That's
fun fact, stone cold sober.
Laughing you a Jew.
AJ, I remember
we had a small like 16 or 17 foot boat out in Long Island, and my father and like his brother and two uncles were going to go fishing. They'd been drinking before the boat. And my mother was like, you know, you guys are too drunk to fish. And that's all he had to hear. He goes, "Shut, don't you give me that shit." And they're pushing off the dock, but all four of them did it. And the fucking whole boat fell over. All of them went in the drink. Never went fishing. And he got out of the water. And he goes, "You bitch, you did this to us.
Too drunk to fish.
Yeah.
And the foundation for AJ Benza's relationships were now set in place.
There you go.
Solidified.
There you go. Mm-hmm. There you go.
That was allegedly with AJ Benza. Called that so we don't get sued. All views and opinions expressed in this segment are lightly researched and or complete conjecture based on hearsay and rumor from loose connections within the entertainment industry. There is no concrete way to prove that any of the claims made by AJ are in fact accurate and not libelous or defamatory. But again, we remind any legal representation who may be listening that the view and opinions expressed belong to AJ and only AJ, host of Fame as a Bitch, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
I like it.
All right, let me hit quick Simply Safe here. No one should feel unsafe at home, period. Fear has no place at home, and that's why there is Simply Safe. Two eyes. Protect your home. Do it today. Get free shipping at simplysafe.com/Adam. That is simplysafe.com/Adam. All right, we'll take we'll put Rotten Tomatoes on hold. We'll take a break, and we'll do the news with AJ and Bald and Gina right after this.
Hey, movie lovers, who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.